Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone. But the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished and said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's homily is God behaves as he does, not as we do. And for the master's level students here, the Latin phrase that could be the title is agere sequitur esse. Very simple Latin phrase, but very deep, as often Latin phrases are, right? Agere, action, to do, follows sequitur esse, being. That our actions flow out of our being. And that can seem very abstract, but it's also very scientific. The way we classify and define beings, anything we're studying, is by the effects. We study what they do. When we don't know what it is, we put tests and we're like, this cell behaves like these other cells we know. It must be that. And then the doctor, based on that, comes and tells you, you've got this. Because you have things in your body behaving this way. Right? Or human beings, that's a good person. Not because we can see inside and all their cells are good. No, it's they behave in a good way. They must be then a good person, good being, right? Our actions reveal our being. So let's go on to the readings, because the readings are all about defining God's being by looking at his actions. And this is important because we can misinterpret what we think God's actions are and say, therefore, he's this way. First reading starts with, "Be strong, fear not." They're afraid for some reason, right? Maybe because of what the reading goes on to reveal, these people are weak. They're blind. They can't see. Maybe they're thinking, God's forgotten me. I'm deaf. I can't hear. God doesn't speak to me. I'm lame. I can't find God. I can't get to him. He's forgotten me. And the reading says to those people, don't be afraid, God's coming, because he's going to turn your blindness into sight. He's going to turn your deafness into hearing. He's going to not just lift you up, you're going to leap like a stag, like an Olympic jumper. Not just going to heal a little bit so you can kind of hobble around. He's going to set you free, right? That's who God is. That's the way he behaves. And even though right now you don't see it, I'm telling you, this is who God is. In fact, the psalm goes on to celebrate that and interestingly starts with this title, God of Jacob. That's the name of Israel, right? Jacob's name gets changed to Israel. Jacob has 12 sons, the tribe of Israel. But Jacob is his name before he encounters and wrestles with that mysterious figure, with God himself. He struggles to understand who God is. He's in the midst of a division with his brother. Esau is chasing him. He's on the move with his family, and he's struggling to understand who God is and wrestles, right, with God to understand what is he doing, where is he, what's his action, right? And God changes his name to Israel, he who sees, right? And then the psalm goes on to affirm who God is. How does he behave? What does he do? The Lord gives sight to the blind, it says. The Lord raises up those who are lowly or bow down. The Lord loves the just. That's who he is. He protects strangers. Second reading kind of does the opposite. Say, this is the way human beings are. Don't be like them. Someone comes into the community, kind of flashy, got some nice jewelry, and you're like, whoa, they must be important. Drove in a nice car. It's like, welcome, please, have a nice seat here. We're thinking, maybe he can help us fix the air conditioning here, right? There's interest, right? What can I get out of this person, right? Their abilities, their, and give them a nice place, make them a good experience. Maybe they'll like, you know, the community. And then a poor person shows up and you're like, you know what? You can stand over here. Please don't take a good seat because most probably someone more important than you is going to show up, right? Or not even, don't even give them a seat. You can sit here at my feet, right? Human beings tend to instrumentalize others. What can I get out of them? Even the good ones. And we're talking here, James, to the early community and notices some behaviors that don't reflect God, and he addresses them directly. He, no, that's not the way we behave. It's not the way God behaves. We're his people. We behave like him. Now, certainly, we honor those who are generous, right? We're good to those who are good to us, but we're more like God when we're good to those who are bad to us. When we presume, all I can do is give to you, so please let me give to you, that enables me to be like God. And then Jesus gives us the ultimate example of who God is and how God behaves. And it's beautiful, the opening line, because it says in the opening line that he goes up to Tyre and Sidon, up to the north. The Jews, when they hear this, or the early Christians hear this, like, he goes up to those people, up to the Babylon area, up to those people that were always the nemesis of the chosen people. And in fact, he goes to that people that after the divided kingdom, after David and Solomon, they marry into that family, Jezebel, and she brings that pagan worship into the faith of Israel and divides them. Eventually, God responds by allowing them to be ransacked and separated out. They hear, those are the bad ones. Those are the dangerous ones. Where does Jesus go? Right into the heart of it. Goes up there, far, far north. And even more important, it says, he left the district of Tyre and to head down to the Sea of Galilee. What's he do? He goes further north. It's like he goes from New York to go to D.C. by way of Syracuse. It's like, wait a second. If you're going down to the Sea of Galilee, why are you going? He wanted to go up even further to those people and reach out to them, touch them, bring the gospel to them. He's got a heart that goes out to those. And in that context, then down to the Decapolis, the other side, those who are on the fringes where they were cast out to the people of God after they were conquered, to that area on the other side, they bring him. And now you're saying, okay, Jesus got a message here. There's something symbolic going on, real, but also with meaning. They brought to him a deaf man who had speech impediment, begged him to lay his hand on him. And he takes him off and he deals with this man's blindness, deafness, his speech impediment. He heals him. That's who God is. That's what God wants to do. And for those of us who struggle because God hasn't touched that area of our life, where we haven't seen that healing, where we haven't heard God speaking to us in that way that we're looking for, and we can interpret and say, not worth it. God is not who he says he is. But God loves us and is inviting us to grow. If he hasn't given you the good thing you want, and it's truly a good thing, it's because he wants to give you something better. And people can say, that's an easy out. Of course, makes sense. Yeah, because it's true. Certainly, God doesn't always answer our prayers. He doesn't always say, be open and fix things the way we would like. But how many of us, through experience of life, realize, now I understand what God was doing there, what God was permitting, how he was healing. God now in Jesus comes to this poor man. He heals and touches him. He does that for all of us in the Eucharist. And we could say, we're the good ones. We're showing up at church. We don't need. Nah, that's exactly why we're here, because we know we need it. We need Christ to touch us, to heal us, to give us his grace. And so we come to the altar saying, Lord, I don't want to be like that people that eventually gets fed up and goes far away from you. I want to stay at your foot. I want to come to your altar. I want you to touch my tongue. I want you to touch my ears. I want you to transform my heart. So let's pray for that grace today for ourselves, that God can touch us, strengthen us. Let's pray for the gift of hope, right? Which believes even when we don't see, to persevere and trust in the Lord. And let's pray that for all of our brothers and sisters here with us, As that saying goes, now everyone is fighting a battle you don't know about. So let's pray for them to get what they need spiritually, emotionally, and that God would reach and touch them through this Eucharist, through our participation together, through our charity, receive all the graces that they need. Amen.